Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Here we go. It's Hour 5 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We're excited for Game 6 tonight. Stars and Avs is coming up at 8:30, and Ralph Stranges is coming up in 20 minutes. It's time now for Woolchuk's proper round tripper. Here's Zach.
All right, sad Rangers stats for you. We first go to Kennedy Landry. Rangers have not had an extra base hit since Kyle Higashioka's double versus a position player in the eighth inning on Tuesday. Mm. They haven't had a home run since that three-inning homer Thursday in West Sacramento, and I don't know when the next home run's going to come. Please, God.
So that's six games,
Bang
right?
Bang almost got one today. He just pulled it a little bit.
Yeah, we need Bang Bang to come through. Maybe this next series against Seattle, the home run ball will show up. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's probably a good way to put it. Not happening. Rangers have scored two or fewer runs in nine of their last 13 games. Say that's probably not good. And then this is from Evan Grant. Rangers are 29th in baseball and percent of pitches seen well ahead in the counts. They're also 29th in Major League Baseball in slug when ahead in the count. In other words, not patient enough to get in hitters' counts. And when they do get in hitter counts, they aren't taking advantage. It's a bad, vicious cycle. And it is. The patience, the inability to draw walks outside of Marcus Semien right now, getting players aboard but then unable to bring them across. It's really, really rough as, hopefully the Rangers can turn this around very, very soon. You get Corey Seager back for the weekend is what we're hearing. And who knows? Maybe the call-up of one Evan Carter makes a difference.
I saw he'd reached base in all 18 appearances that he's made here in the last month or so.
He's been looking good at AAA. Still, we have no answer to the lefties. I think we might just be punting on that. But Bruce Bochy and the frustration, it's certainly there. He said it had probably been there before today. He said today was their worst outing in this season. But the one thing that's a constant is Tyler Mahle in the pitching. If you're looking for positives, he began the month of May, carried over from what he did in April. Even though he can't get any type of run support, he's been incredible. He's allowed just one run on five hits and a walk, struck out six batters in six innings, fourth quality start of the season.
This one after getting in massive trouble in the first inning.
Yeah. He's leaned a lot more with his splitter, threw it 43% of the time today. That's up from his season average of 26%. That was interesting. He said, I think the splitter works better when I'm commanding my fastball. So that's a good 1-2 for him right there, the fastball, the splitter, mixing that in. Seven starts. He's got a 1.19 ERA over 37 and two-third innings, tied with Max Fried for the lowest in the American League. Rangers offense just hasn't been there. I mean, we talked about it. I think they had scored, what was it, three runs over his last four starts?
Yeah.
Like, it's brutal. And Evaldi not getting any run support. DeGrom, you name the pitcher. We're just not getting help.
Even Dane Dunning went three innings the other day, got a save. They said, hey, not good enough. Goodbye. We need the spot.
And Dane probably going to end up coming back, the poor guy. It's just you're on, you're off, you're on. Bye-bye again, Dane.
But it doesn't matter. They put guys out there, and they've had some success. It's a shame. They're just,
they're wasting it.
This team could be leading this division by a lot more.
They should be.
If they just had some timely hitting.
I think it's frustrating right now, but it's also exciting what CY might do this weekend, what CY would do next week if, you know, the worst possible scenario happens against the Mariners. I don't think we're far off from something big happening, and I think that's bigger than Evan Carter getting called up.
Yeah, and I mean, look, CY is a guy that's not going to waste any time, to your point. They're now 16-16. They're right at 500. You're 32 games in. He got ahead of the stuff with the relievers by trading for Aroldis Chapman in June. Do you end up looking at this and saying, okay, we're going to give you one last chance. We're going to insert Seager back in the lineup. Maybe you call up Evan Carter. You give that a little bit of time, see how the new lineup looks. But afterwards, I'm making calls, and we're going to try and make something happen.
Congrats to Evan Carter. Got his first hit of the season off a left-handed pitcher.
Right. Oh, look at that. Progress.
Step in the right direction.
Seven-game hit streak on base in all 18 games he's played.
We'll take that.
The Burger story is just crazy, though, because this is a guy who in 2023 and 2024 combined for like 60 home runs and all these ribbies. And, you know, he'd established himself as a pretty consistent 250 or so hitter. And now to be, you know, so low and only have, what, the one home run or two home runs, it's just, it's brutal to watch Burger. But I, to that point, Wolchuk, what I'm saying is I feel like that's going to turn around and Jake's going to have an amazing month or two and we can ride his power along with the pitching to a division lead. Like right now being 500 kind of sucks after the 8-2 start.
Sure.
But it's not bad.
No, it could. Easily, you need Adolis to get hot. Like, we've seen one guy be able to carry a lineup for you. And right now, it's like, look, if you can score four runs, you're feeling really good about getting a victory. It's not like you're asking the offense to go put up double-digit runs. Can you get four? Can you get five? Because if you do, the way this team's pitching, you're going to be victorious at the end of the day.
I was just thinking, like, ideally, which position would you add? Is it an outfielder? Is it are you punting on Burger now? I don't think so. Maybe if the entire year is this bad, I would try something else there. But he's young, he's got power, and he's hit for average the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You want to be patient with him. Simeon, I'd like to move on from, but his contract is so long. I need him to get hot here or get hot and trade him. You know, that's the way I'm looking at Simeon right now. I don't know that there's a lot of clear holes that you want to look at other than, hey, in our outfield, we don't have a long-term answer at center field, and I'm ready to give up on Dolly being a kind of consistent hitter that can power a lineup in the middle.
Yeah, which is really heartbreaking because he looked like a guy that was on the verge of being one of the best in baseball, but it's just so... So Jekyll and Hyde with him when it comes to his approach. This was a scary situation. Last night, Pittsburgh's PNC Park, we have a man in critical condition who is in the hospital right now, falling more than 20 feet from the right field stands in Pittsburgh. It was the seventh inning of the Pirates game against the Cubs. I saw this video going viral and immediately thought about the tragedy that happened in Arlington several years ago. The man fell from a section with a rail above the 21-foot Clemente wall in right field and hit the wall before landing on the warning track. You can see the video. I mean, it's been circulating around social media. He remained motionless while medical crews rushed to his aid, carried him off the field on a stretcher. He was transported about a mile north to General Hospital.
I think he got lucky that his landing motion kind of rolled. Like, I think it rolled off his shoulder and just kind of sent all that force, you know, down towards his leg. So it wasn't like a flat landing or a direct head clump landing. It was kind of like a stuntman landing. And maybe that's because he was so hammered. You know, that's what I heard.
Yeah. There was a Reddit post of apparently somebody who was sitting five rows behind him. And they say he was definitely drunk. The inning before, he had ripped his shirt off and poured half a beer all over himself. And then he jumped from his seat when the Pirates got the hit, jumped so quick while being hammered, he literally propelled himself off the ledge.
Well, I've seen some circulating that the fan is Kevin Markwood, who's a former college football player that's just 20 years old.
Jeez. That was explosive.
Yeah.
Looked like a corner or a running back, maybe linebacker.
Yeah, he's currently he's fighting for his life right now in the hospital
in critical condition.
So the incident, according to Pittsburgh Public Safety, was treated as an accident in nature. So thoughts and prayers, man. Hopefully he's able to make it out. But, I mean, a scary deal. Yeah, the Pirates, made a comment on it. Several of their players commented on it as well. But, man, You'd hate to see that.
I think the way to build from it is just, we got to be careful. you know?
Yeah.
And I, for me, I would never sit in those seats. The being up that high with a ledge at waist level terrifies me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how fans are sitting down there. You know? Mm-hmm. Maybe we need nets. I don't know. I don't think anybody, I don't think people want nets. They're not as bothered by the heights as I am. Like the top 10 yesterday was your top 10 fears. Mine is heights, right? Yeah. Way ahead of snakes and anything else. Just like being up there's.
It is. It's scary. I mean, when you go to like the top row of the AAC or any of these and you're like basically touching the ceiling and you look down and it's pretty steep, you know, climbing up and down those stairs. It's like, man, anytime I'm trying to go down the aisle, I'm like, please don't fall.
I feel like gravity's trying to reach out and grab me by the lapel and pull me.
Mm.
You know, if I get too close to an edge like that, I can almost feel like, oof.
Yeah, that's high level discomfort.
It's rough. It's rough.
I think it's a, did you mention it was a, I think it's a fractured skull.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's why he's in critical condition right now. So, man, it's just, yes. I mean, who knows if they put him in a coma? I don't know. But that, this is awful.
Oh, yeah, it is.
20 years old, if the report is true, that's who it is. Lance McCullers Jr., scheduled to make his first major league appearance since the 2022 World Series. The Houston right-hander is going to start Sunday against the White Sox. Pretty incredible. First start in 30 months to the day, almost. So this is pretty crazy. Missed all of last year. Had to have a right flexor tendon and alleviate a bone spur. So he had several procedures to address that. But I guess he's been playing Triple-A Corpus Christi. Looks good enough to come back to the major league level. So we'll see how Lance McCullers Jr. looks. And then we know Tampa Bay is having to play at the Yankee spring training facility.
Steinbrenner Field.
So Pete Fairbanks, former Texas Ranger, now having a very successful career with Tampa, was on foul territory, and they did ask him, like, hey, since you are in a division rivals facility, like, you know, you got to check around, make sure they're not spying on you a little bit.
Do you worry about microphones being put in different places because it's the Yankees facility, but you guys are using it? Do you guys, like, talk in code? Do you guys have meetings outside in the heat?
No, I think that we did a full sweep kind of like Man from U.N.C.L.E. style. We got the big like buzzer out and kind of went around.
And how many did you find?
You know, and anything that we found, we'll just take up on our plane when we head up to New York on Friday.
Mm. I do like that, though. They're like looking around, nooks and crannies, where are the mics? You got to double check, because I wouldn't put it past the Yankees or really any team in Major League Baseball. If you're going to use our facilities, we might spy on you a little bit, especially if you're a divisional rival. Say, you know, there's a nice pennant race going on.
Yeah, you can't put it past them.
No.
I tell you what, if the Astros come through, I'm definitely spying on them.
Hell yes.
That's just retaliation. That's just eye for
damn
eye.
Damn right. Mm-hmm. This is what you get for the trash cans. We're going to go ahead and spy on you in our facility. And
don't forget about the nipple buzzers either.
The buzzers were probably the crime number one there.
Oh, don't take my shirt off. Yeah, my wife will be embarrassed.
Yeah, there's tons of posts out there with your shirt off. You're acting like that's what you're scared of because your wife doesn't want us to all see those nipples of yours. Come on.
I love seeing that tiny man out in the outfield. Just watching him
it's
struggle.
It's so funny. And then he has to get moved up in the lineup because he was getting winded having to make that trot out to left field.
Reminds me of the little person wrestling that Dick Hunter used to put on. You remember that, Brian?
Yeah, I do.
That was fun up there.
Them little jokers were ornery, bro.
They were ornery. Very ornery.
They
were
ornery. I wouldn't want to fight them.
Yeah.
Okay. They would have got you. They were tough, too. Strong.
Yeah.
Strong little guys.
I saw there was one of those, like, I think it was Aiden Ross put on a fighting event, and we did have a little person fighting an average-sized person, and the little person kicked their ass.
Yeah, kicked you in the shin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and they mug you.
And as soon as they take you down, it's a game over.
Yeah.
Center of gravity.
If you start beating them up, you look crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't win.
What do you want me to do? Yeah. I'm not going to just let them kick my ass. All right, I got to go ahead and retaliate in some way.
They are tenacious.
I don't think it's letting them.
And stronger than you think.
I think they train like all year long, you know, how to take down a full-size person. And if you don't know how to fight, you're going to get worked.
Yeah, because we don't train for that. No. That's not a part of our regimen at all.
No. Low man wins.
Did you get a W for uppercutting a guy? Like, bam, and he falls out, and you get a W for that.
Big tree fall hard.
Wins a win.
Speaking of beef, Matt LaFleur versus Ben Johnson. This is a fun one that's gone back and forth. Ben Johnson's clearly trying to go ahead and create some sort of animosity. These two obviously big-time rivals, Packers and Bears. But Matt LaFleur jumped on with Bustin' with the Boys. They asked him, like, okay, what's up with this beef, bro?
Do you have beef with Coach Johnson?
I was waiting for this. I don't know Ben Johnson.
So do you have beef?
Do I have beef? I don't know Ben Johnson. I respect him as a football coach. He did a nice job.
Yeah, but are we not feeling the same thing right now?
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah.
But if you don't know him, why is it tight in here?
It's not tight. I'm not tight. I thought it was interesting.
What was interesting?
I thought the press conference was interesting, but I don't have beef with him.
And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
I don't get all into that stuff. I thought
But you'll harness it. He'll see the eye emojis after a win. You'll send.
I don't have his number, so that won't happen.
You got a Jim Harbaugh after a game?
No, I would never do that.
Do you have the strength to do that?
I don't know. Probably not. Apparently not.
No, I'd never do that.
I am here for a good coach fight, though. It's been a while since Jim Schwartz was chasing down Harbaugh.
That was great.
Up to him. I kind of wouldn't mind it. LaFleur versus Johnson. I hope this grows.
Josina Anderson told us, though, Ben Johnson doesn't have true alpha energy. He's either a beta or an omega or something. I don't know, but he's trying to be alpha, and that was awkward. Mm-hmm. Ben Johnson's trash talk was weird, right? So I don't know if this, maybe they do have like weird dork beef, right? Because yeah. That's basically what we're looking at right here.
Because LaFleur looks like he's about to burst into tears in any second.
Yeah. Matt LaFleur is so like hyper emotional that he's trying to keep his emotions regulated at all times. So he's like, be cool, stay calm, be stoic, be a head coach. He's not going to engage. But the interviewers knew it felt weird.
Yeah.
It absolutely got weird, but he doesn't have the cojones to fully engage.
I'm not tight. Who's tight?
Who are you tight?
It's dork beef.
I've been looser.
There you have it. There's a little bit of NFL sprinkled in with Around the Bases.
Thank you, old Chuck. Around the Bases every night, 6 o'clock here in the G-Bag Nation. Of course, tomorrow night at 6, we'll be getting set for Rangers-Mariners pregame, which will be at 6:30 as we need a successful weekend, right? You just lost 3 of 4 to the A's.
Please.
That just happened.
5 of 7
Please,
days.
Baseball gods, can we get some home runs?
We'll get Ralph Stranges on with us. That's a win, and we'll talk game 6 of the Stanley Cup play.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Playoffs next in the nation. Welcome back, Nation. We have some Rangers breaking news. We'll get that to you real quickly, and then we'll get to Ralph Stranges here talking Game 6, Stars and Avalanche segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. We go to Ken Rosenthal's Twitter account 7 minutes ago. He tweeted, Rangers are demoting first baseman Jake Berger and promoting first baseman Blaine Crim.
from AAA. Sources telling The Athletic, plan is for Berger to reset and return soon. That is awesome. I don't think I could be more wrong than I was about 10 minutes ago when it comes to Jake Berger. I thought you'd be patient with the guy that had demonstrated that ability, but I think this is CY looking for something, and Krim has been killing it down there, hasn't he, Wolchuk?
He has 115 at-bats. He's hitting .313, 7 homers, 25 RBIs. He's got a stolen base. His OPS is at .930. So he is very deserving of a call-up, and not to mention he's rocking an incredible stash. So
that thing is impressive.
Hopefully Blaine Krim can step up and give you some quality at-bats. And for Jake, I mean, maybe this is the reset he needs because he's certainly very, very capable. I mean, you talked about the last 2 years, what he's been able to do. This is a guy who's got power,
yeah.
And right now he needs to find it.
30-bomb type of power, you know. We should be getting 5-6 home runs a month as Ralph Strangis joins us now with Game 6 coming up in just over 2 hours. A good evening, Ralph. How the heck you doing out there?
Good. Speaking of bomb power,
yep.
No. Speaking of being wrong, I hope I'm wrong. I picked Colorado when the series started.
Okay.
So yeah. Tonight I'm looking to be really wrong as the Stars are in Denver with a chance to close it out, the first of two chances to close it out, and four big games on tonight. For the NHL playoffs. It's such a fun. I love this first couple of weeks because there's three or four games on every night and these first rounds teams are trying to kill each other. It's great TV. How are you guys doing? Gavin, what's
amazing.
Up, guys? Huh?
Well, we're good? Doing great.
We're fantastic.
Better now.
How could you be any better considering that they had two players down? They're up 3-2. This is paradise here.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. Like, it's house money night tonight, which is good, right? Like, you know, if they have to come back home and they have to play a seventh game, it is at American Airlines Center. It gives, you know, a guy like Miro Heiskanen another day or two to maybe decide whether they want to bring him in. But I find it unlikely that they're going to play him in this round. But, they're not playing him tonight, clearly. But without their best defenseman, who is more than a defenseman, he runs the game. He's got the puck, half the hockey game. You know, you're not in trouble. You're not running around. And their leading goal scorer to be in this spot tonight. It's awesome. I don't think Colorado thought they were going to be here when they kind of handled them in game one in Dallas. But yet Dallas is here tonight and they're here because, you know, the goaltending has been terrific. And in game five, they got all their big guys on the score sheet, including newly acquired Mikko Rantanen. So if they can ride what they just did, they got a real shot to put them out tonight.
How crazy is this environment? You've been there firsthand for these matchups in Colorado, Ralph. I mean, it used to be Pepsi Center, now Ball Arena. But you're going to get the desperate team theory, as Brian always talks about with us. Colorado on the verge of elimination. Cale Makar, does he finally step up tonight? But how hostile is this environment going to be for the Stars?
Well, it's going to be hostile, right? Like these games are nuts. Okay, I mean, you go through the regular season and you get some big nights and there's a lot of fun stuff, but this is just an entirely different world. And so the thing I think that that going in tonight, yeah, I mean, there have been players like Makar who you wonder, is he going to score a goal? I mean, he had 30 from the blue line in the regular season and he's taken a lot of shots. I think he has 20 shots or something in the series, but he hasn't been able to find the net. It's, you know, they've got a lot of skill and it's something to be very concerned about there and speed. And we saw it like the last time Dallas was in there, they really got run out of the building. And so that's possible. But I think one of the things I always talk about, and today I wrote in my Substack at Ralph Stack, please subscribe, teams always say the same thing. Well, we got to be ready for their push because it's going to be loud and crazy in there. And well, why don't we push? You know, why don't we say screw that? And why don't we bring it to them a little bit here in the first period and not just try and absorb this team for the first 10 minutes? You know, why don't we go on the attack and try and get that lead? Because you saw the difference. Dallas finally got a lead in game five. And when you can play, you know, hockey, especially this time of year, you know, it's really hard for teams to come back. And so I think the best way to diffuse that, you know, that environment there and that, you know, that hurricane that they're walking into and a guy like Makar and McKinnon and to kind of throw everybody off is to get one early, like the Stars did the other day. And then the whole thing kind of changes. Then the pressure gets more and more, builds up on them. So yeah, it's, uh, it is nuts in there. I miss doing games this time of year. That's a fact.
Hey, Ralph. Okay, we get to game six. How do you think the officials handle this? Is it now to the point where, okay, we're going to let the players decide this in a game six or a game seven? Or how do you think this game will be officiated tonight? Because it just appears that blades around skate blades are winding up being tripping calls. How are we going to handle this tonight?
Yeah, I don't know, man. You know, like I just did. So I have this new thing called the Ralph Cast, which is sort of a podcast, but it's more like a TV show. It's a 30-minute fun thing where I have a hockey guest and I do some other stuff. And then I sort of read an essay on the end of the show, like Brian Gumbel did or Scott Van Pelt or something like that. And I talk about officiating is just nuts in all the sports right now.
Right.
I don't believe in a grand conspiracy that, you know, somewhere everybody wants the Chiefs to play in the Super Bowl and somewhere else they're trying to pick which teams get through the playoffs. I think games are super hard to officiate. You know, the players are so big and so fast, and the officials are, you know, older guys, right? And they're trying to keep up, a lot of them. And I think what happens is now with everyone trying to get every call right to keep the integrity of the betting public happy, right? Because there's all of this happening now. Everyone's relying on replay. Sure. And you can kind of look at the TV and you watch these games, all the games, watch any of them, you know, basketball, football, baseball, hockey. And you see guys looking to like, well, maybe replay will save us. Yeah. You know, the officials, it almost looks like they're waiting to be validated by replay or by someone else. And so calls are very strange. And in hockey, there's a lot of sort of what we call these bailout calls, you know, where you can call a double minor just to get it reviewed, or you can call a major just to get it reviewed. And we're seeing this happen. So, you know, to answer the question, I'm not sure what we're going to see tonight, but the thing that you should feel better about is that it's happening to everybody. You know, I think, you know, Colorado has some really good legs to stand on. You know, Roope Hintz should have gotten a cross-checking, you know, double minor, major, maybe even for his hit on Nathan MacKinnon the other night. And the Stars certainly have a bunch of things that they would like to talk about. So, you know, generally what happens is, and I'll give you guys quick on the inside. So there's a series supervisor that works all these series, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's an official supervisor, and the GMs, you know, every day they talk to these guys, right? And they're always working the supervisor working them. But the GMs all come, you know, either before a series or even before the playoffs start, and they kind of all get together and say, this is how we kind of want it called, you know? And so there is a little bit of that sort of going into it. But as series go on, generally there's fewer and fewer calls made, right? Mm-hmm. So they will let the guys decide it a little bit. But I don't know if I'd necessarily want that if I'm Dallas, because their power play's been good. So
right.
It's a mess, right? I don't know. I think it's just, if you go in there saying, look, if the guy's in the box, it's a penalty. And if they don't put him in there, it's not. And we just got to get through it regardless. I think that's the way to go. And in my Ralph Cast podcast on YouTube this week, I do a nice little piece on that. I don't know. I mean, what are you guys seeing? Like, it's nuts, right? All the sports lately.
Yeah. Well, yes. I think there's more replay, which brings in more critique. And then what's frustrating for me, Ralph, is that the replay isn't precise enough to give us a definitive answer. So, you know, I'd like to see it go back to how it was.
Yeah, it's hard, right? Because, you know, everybody's trying to get it right. See, I don't know if you watched the Minnesota game the other night, but I mean, you know, they're down 3-2 because of a toenail.
Offside,
right?
Yeah,
offside by a whisker.
Right.
Like a whisker, you know, on replay. And it happened a minute before the goal was scored. So, you know, like, it was offside. And I guess that's the right call. But is that really the spirit of what we're doing? So I mean, it is. But it's, you know, you can have a lot of debate about that. I don't know, man. I would try and not look at the officiating tonight and just try and get through it.
Personally, I cannot wait until cameras and computers can have it perfect, and then we can just let the guys play and not have to talk about it. But, Ralph, let me ask you about this. Game six tonight, how much of an advantage is it to get the job done here and then get the extra rest before the next series starts?
It's huge. It's huge for every time you play a playoff game, the risk is enormous. You risk an injury, you know, you risk something really bad happening to your group. And in this case, if you lose tonight, you know, you A, have to play a seventh game where B, anything can happen and you might not advance. So, you know, the earlier you can get out, the better. The you know, the fatigue that wears on a team that's trying to win the cup, the fewer games they can play, you know, the better it is. And both Dallas and Colorado, I mean, the West is so stacked that we're getting maybe, you know, two of the top four teams in the West playing in round one. You know, either one of these teams could win the Stanley Cup, and only one of them is going to go on. So, yeah, we want them out tonight if we can get them out. But we also don't want to lose sight of, you know, I mean, you're going to hear all the coach speak and the hyperbole and the, you know, and all the platitudes and things. You know, we do have two shots to win one game, and Colorado cannot lose tonight. So that is where that desperation comes from that Dallas is going to have to match.
Jake Ottinger, 50th career playoff game at age 26. You brought up game four in Colorado. He gets chased from that one. What have you thought about Otter in this series and the goaltending in general? Because it seems like Blackwood, maybe you can take advantage of him, and he starts thinking like, oh, no, is this about to snowball on me?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that right now, like, Jake to me looks like a guy who's ready to close it. You know, he's played great this series. Even that game where he got pulled, I didn't think that was on him. I mean, he stopped 20 of 21 in the second period, you know, like, and he's down 3-0. And I think that was more Pete going, you guys don't deserve him. I'm saving him for the next game. You know, go finish this thing out and we'll, you know, and then we'll deal with it later, right? But he has been, you know, the numbers say it's a statistical saw-off between the two of them. But, you know, for this series, but Jake's, you know, he's experienced. He's won series before. He's won big games before. He's advanced before. And he's got the big contract. This is where this has to matter right now. This is where Jake Ottinger, if he's that guy, because Ed Belfour did it, he walked into Colorado and said, no, you won't be moving on. Not tonight. No, sir. And so that's what has to happen. And I'm glad you brought that up because he's played well enough to do it. But then this is one tonight that, you know, if you're Jake Ottinger, you know, you got to go in there and say, I'm better than that guy. Okay. So let's friggin' go here. Let's turn their lights out tonight.
You said you picked Avs, and if the Stars win tonight, you would be wrong. But, you know, why would it be wrong? What would you reconsider maybe about how good this team is, or do you think they were just fortunate to get through?
Well, you know, I mean, the thing that I thought was watching them the last 3 weeks, and you and I talked about this last week, like they didn't look right. You know, they were uncompetitive. They looked disinterested. You know, their defending game sucked. They were losing people in their zone that they never lose. You know, uncharacteristically, they lose 7 in a row to end the season and they just didn't look right. So I couldn't, based on that, you know, and the fact that, you know, they've had some shaky stuff that they were going to get, you know, that they were going to be able to get past Colorado, who was at full strength, and Dallas did not have Miro Heiskanen and Jason Robertson in the lineup. I think what happened here and why the Stars are up 3-2 is, you know, we finally saw how the Stars can really outplay them in game five when their top goal scorers play. But they had two games there where they trailed the entire game. They took bad penalties, you know, and then they won in overtime, right? They just kind of grinded those games out. Those two games tipped the series. Right. Winning in game two in overtime with an unlikely goal scorer in Colin Blackwood, and then killing 3.5 minutes in overtime right away to start the overtime on that Marchment call and Tyler Seguin scoring. Those are two games that turn the series and two specific incidents. If going back, I couldn't pick them without Miro and without Robertson going into the playoffs the way they did. So, you know, I mean, those two games are, if you're the Avs, you're pointing at those two games going, how the hell did we let that happen?
Yeah.
But if you're the Stars, so what? We're up 3-2. We got two cracks at this. You know, let's eliminate and then, you know, try and add bodies here in the next round. And that would be the plan, right? To get both those guys back.
214 says, tell Ralph it's great to hear his voice. I miss him so much. You can watch the Ralph Cast podcast there. Is that on YouTube, Ralph?
It's on the YouTube. Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. We called the YouTube people. We got it all set up and it's wasn't that Michael Scott? Call the YouTube people. And we got it all set up. And so we drop a show tomorrow. And tomorrow we have the great Selena Ray and Savannah Humoller, who covers the Stars in Texas for D210 Sports. And then we have a little, we're going to talk about officials. And then I have a cool little segment, 100 miles from hockey. And on Saturday I went golfing. And I was with a guy I got paired up with. I didn't even know him. And he had his first hole in one ever. And I still haven't had one. And I have some videos. So
he buy you a drink?
Yeah.
He buy you a drink?
Yeah. You know, he kind of skirted off there at the end, though. Because there were a bunch of guys waiting. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He, you know, his wife bought him the round for his birthday. He drove over. So I think he was like, I'm going home. The hell
there you go. I got you.
I'm not buying drinks. I'm getting out of here.
Oh, yeah. You're the best, Ralph.
Well, have fun tonight,
thanks,
Ralph.
Guys.
Yeah. Let's talk next week.
Let's do it, huh, for round two.
Yes, sir. There he goes. Read him on the Ralph Stack. Watch him on the Ralph Cast. It's Ralph Strangis here with you in the G-Bag Nation talking Stars.
I was thinking about that as I asked that question.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt, right?
I was like, whoops.
Yeah, but I mean, that's tradition. You're supposed to buy.
Yeah, you're supposed to buy, yeah, the round.
Who's in the twosome or the foursome, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right,
you're supposed to get drinks there afterwards.
Right.
All right, that's actually why I quit golfing shortly after I quit drinking. I couldn't risk that anymore, you know, because how much of a dead I am out there throwing darts at the hole. All right, we'll be back here to crosstalk with the Fan After Dark, see what Fred and Blake have cooking.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Here for you. All right, welcome back, Nation. 561 says that interview brought me back to years gone by in the late 90s, Stars glory days. Awesome. 469, please come back to the Stars, Ralph. Yeah, Ralph Strangis just joined us. You can go back and listen to his thoughts on Game 6 tonight. Puck drops at 8:30, at plenty of time. Odyssey app, instant rewind functionality. Basically breaks every show into what looks like a podcast menu dang near. Plus, you got the Fan After Dark here rocking and rolling here live for, what, the next 4 hours? We got a four-hour show, Blake and Fred.
Ooh, I'm fired up, man. 4 hours, and per Tim's email, Fan After Dark, what, 6 days in a row next week?
Something crazy like that, yeah. No, we're, you know, we've been off for the last few days.
Seems in Boston then, huh, right? They're in Boston to Detroit, so you got the early games.
Got some early games going on, a little 9 to midnight action. You guys remember those days, a little 9 to midnight.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Did I hear you say?
Yes,
During LA Live that you asked, would you be crazy if you dated a woman from prison? Was that what you were getting at?
Yeah, I did.
So you had to ask that out loud, like? You thought, because
confirmation?
There's just confirming that Dayton's
taking the temperature of the room.
Who says?
There's no telling
it.
My crew. No telling.
I'm not judging.
No.
Okay, let me get
no
that
telling
straight
my crew
right now. Okay.
Yeah, I just want to
make,
yeah.
And I don't know if apparently me and Lucius' algorithms must be similar, because I saw the young lady who inferred that she would, you know, relations on the first date, which I appreciate. Okay. But she did stand up, and hey, God bless her. Okay.
Talented gal. Think she's going to have a full dance card?
Look, all I'm saying is keep an eye on whoever the guards are. Okay.
Yeah.
Just going to leave it at that.
Temptation can get the best of them.
Going to leave it at that.
We need to get the Rangers one of your slump busters, Fred.
That's right.
Need something.
We need nine of them.
We need you to go drop something off at the clubhouse.
Maybe the bigger the better.
I would have Mark Grace give a speech.
You got slump busters? Ask him if he has slump busters.
You got slump busters? Like what? Brett. On standby?
Yeah. Got a gag of trash.
Still cultivating my Dallas team roster.
Team building is a sport.
But
he got a gang of fours in his phone.
No.
Are you looking like one techniques? What are you looking at?
Skill positions? Whatever.
Eat up some double teams.
I don't discriminate.
Eat up some double teams.
Goes.
Okay. I think whatever the scale says is going to be your batting average for the next 2 weeks. So.
Hey.
I've
been a little 250, 260 before.
Oh, I remember that story.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That would look like an oasis in the desert right now, a 250 hitter for these Texas Rangers.
And this was a Maine woman, too. And you know what BMW stands for?
She was your Maine?
Big Maine women.
Big Maine women.
Big Maine women.
You ever been to Maine?
No.
I have.
Not a lot to do up there, if we're being honest.
But the town's called Banger.
Seafood, right? Seafood's big in Maine.
A lot of lobster.
A lot of lobster.
Basically Canada, right? Southern Canada.
More or less. Now, granted, this was 20 years ago. I actually picked up a chick one time at a bar. Her name was A-Bear.
Bragging.
Lies. Lies.
Yeah. Right.
One word.
He ain't that strong.
Her last name was A-Bear.
A-Bear.
Okay. First name was Christy. Okay. God bless her.
Okay.
I bet Christy. So,
are we talking Grizzly?
No. No. Here's a story. So, good looking chick, whatever. was able to take her back.
Lies.
Because.
Ain't no lies.
There's no need to embellish. Come on. There's no need to embellish. But she said when she said her name was A-Bear, I said, oh, like Bobby. Blew her mind, spelled it for her. We're back at the house.
That's all it took.
Wow.
High standard gal.
All it took.
Wow. She a USFL fan?
Is that how she spelled it? Here, think about it. 2001, nobody was rocking with Bobby A-Bear.
Is she like a French-Canadian type gal?
It's a lot of them up there.
Okay.
It's a lot of them.
She spelled it like Bobby?
H-E-B-E-R-T, man. Wow. There's more to the story we can't really share on here.
Easy pick. Yeah,
she could spin it, huh?
I don't think she could spin. But, yes. In fact, I remember, true story, I was at her house watching when Luis Gonzalez hit that little bloop off Mariano Rivera to win the World Series.
No kidding.
True story.
Incredible moment.
Memories.
I think my Yankee night had peaked that year. And Luis Gonzalez was an absolute hero for the Diamondbacks, along with Craig Counsell.
Wow.
Yeah.
Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling. Good team.
It was a good time. It was a good time back then.
Okay. Speaking of baseball, concern level guys here for what we were subjected to today.
It's so weird because me and Fred were talking about in the elevator, the best pitching in the entire league, but the worst hitting team as well. So I don't know where it averages and balances out. I'm concerned because it's not seeming like it's getting better anytime soon, other than that 15-run outburst, which feels like an anomaly from what the Rangers are. So, yeah, it's a different batting order. Bochy's just hitting randomizer at this point with the batting order.
Randomizer.
Don't blame him.
Do we know who Donnie Ecker is?
Offensive coordinator for the Rangers.
When are we going to start giving him the business?
Yep.
That's all I'm asking. Because, we were giving Brian and anybody else last year, Zim, we gave them a hard time.
Yep.
When are we going to start giving Donnie Ecker the business?
Yep.
Just ask him.
I mean, if Boch likes a guy, though, are you going to tell Boch you got to fire your guy?
I mean, are we just telling Boch what he doesn't already know?
If he doesn't know it, then I don't want it. In Bruce we trust. Bruce Almighty.
Do we know who the best hitting coach is in Major League Baseball?
Is it Donnie Ecker? I can promise you that.
What do we have to tease for tonight's show? Strong takes.
Donnie Ecker's coming on at 9 o'clock. Actually, Donnie, if you're listening, 877-881-1053. What do we got to the Lucas slander? Apparently, he's the fattest. I guess he is a fat slob.
He's a bum.
Yeah, he is a fat slob. We learned that last night. Nico's doing cartwheels right now, so we'll discuss that. We'll talk some NFL. Extra credit tonight. Mm-hmm. Okay, Blake versus another soon-to-be college graduate. Can he redeem himself tonight? Is the million-dollar question. Can Blake redeem himself tonight against Khaki Kevin, who will be walking the stage and adding to this,
alumni
group of mean, green, whatever the hell you guys call yourselves.
Fighting machines.
I'm excited for it.
I always bet on Blake myself.
That's a smart bet, and that's why you're a winner.
Redemption looks good on you, Blake.
No.
Thanks to Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control here, 75 and Fitz. You just went, 2.5 flawless, something like that. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chia following. Brought us back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Till then, you're going home with the Nation, Eddies.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.